What's Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, the news in the last hour and a half or so. I guess, actually, time is flying. 2 hours ago now, I guess? Around 10:15 this morning.
It was like, I mean, we didn't even get through the first segment we started talking about it.
Like 10:20.
I was finishing up some take on the way the Royals should line up their playoffs. We'll get back to that next week, I guess.
Around 10:20 this morning, the news came out that Hollywood Brown is being placed on injured reserve. He's going to need surgery to repair his dislocated SC joint. That's more than a month after he had that dislocated collarbone injury that was putting him in jeopardy of missing maybe 3-4 games. Well, now he's expected to miss several months. That timeline is according to Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. He is hearing miss several months, part of the rehab. So, yes, he's eligible to come off IR in 4 games. It's going to be much longer than that. I mean, this could be a season ender. Or maybe he comes back late in the season. But a big blow to the offense. We're going to talk more about this right after What's Trending. We've got some audio of former NFL team doctor, his thoughts on this injury, including him saying that this, he believes, is the first time an NFL player has needed surgery, he believes, for a dislocated SC joint.
Said he's never done surgery for an NFL player on that injury before. So, yeah, we'll hear that in just a minute. But yeah, obviously really bad. I mean, bad news for the Chiefs. Yeah. Not like they can't win the Super Bowl, they can't win this Sunday, they can't win a lot of games news. But I still think that if Xavier Worthy had finished one catch for 5 yards on Sunday instead of score 2 touchdowns, we'd be reacting to this news, or fans would be reacting to this news, just a little bit different. Next up on Watch Trending, speaking of injury news and people panicking, Christian McCaffrey. We knew that he missed last Sunday after we found out that obviously they knew long before this. Well, John Lynch, their general manager, said today, well, if the IR is the thing that he needs, well, then we'll do that if we have to do that. And then mentioning the long-term health of Christian McCaffrey being the more important thing. I think he's openly admitting what we all don't want to hear, which is if you own Christian McCaffrey in fantasy football, this is not a one-week injury. I'd be surprised if he played this week. Sounds like that this Achilles tendonitis, I believe is what it was, might linger a little bit longer than they hope. But either way, that was not a reassuring thing that John Lynch had to say about Christian McCaffrey today.
Well, when they also saw Jordan Mason go out there and have a great showing, I'm sure it gives him a little more confidence and patience, I should say, with how they move forward with Christian McCaffrey. Next up on What's Trending, we know the Royals are back at it after the off day yesterday. They're in Pittsburgh taking on the Pirates, a 5:40 first pitch right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. Vern's on deck show at 4:30, and it will be Alec Marsh. We wondered yesterday, they hadn't officially announced, but it is Alec Marsh on the bump. The Royals, 80-67 on the season. Got some good results yesterday across baseball.
Currently 5 games up on the second wild the wild card. Game and a half up on the Twins, but 5 games clear of anybody else chasing him. Which is, pretty much everyone who needed to lose lost. Next up on Watch Trending, college football tonight. K-State versus Arizona. Cats v. Cats tonight at 7 o'clock in Manhattan. You can hear the game over on The Fan AM. That's 6:10 a.m. Royals tonight on 96.5 The Fan. KU at UNLV at 6 tonight. And then Missouri versus Boston College tomorrow at 11 a.m. Ranked matchup between Missouri and Boston College. I am told Carrington Harrison is going both to Manhattan tonight. And double dipping and driving to Columbia Saturday morning.
Yeah, he's off right before the Royals today. So off, he got enough time to make a 2-hour drive or whatever out there. And then turn around tomorrow morning, going to Columbia. Why not? Look, 2 big time games for Kansas State and then for Missouri. For KU, we'll talk more about this later. Obviously, the question is, does Jalen Daniels look
better,
like Jalen Daniels from a year or so ago? Or is this the new reality that this is going to be a struggle for him? Or was it a combination of play calling with the brand new offensive coordinator? We'll learn tonight. That's also out at Children's Mercy Park this evening.
I think you and I both agree, by the way. Unleash Avery Johnson tonight. Let us see the full version of Avery Johnson. We can talk about that a little bit later on. Lastly, on What's Trending, it's got an email from the Royals I'm a little confused about.
Uh-oh.
It says, it's from Royals.com. It says, thank you for your entry to be a part of the Hot Dog Race Championship Tournament presented by Underdog Fantasy.
Right.
This says, unfortunately, your entry was not selected for this season's race.
You got
this
denied.
This won't be your last Hot Dog Championship Tournament, so keep an eye on our channels for the next opportunity. I'm sorry.
You're denied after
all
that.
No. I was already told.
They don't want you.
I was already told I was in. I got a shipping email today that said the Royals were sending me a box.
That's a mistake.
I assume that,
They just sent you in writing that you're denied. They heard you talking about it. They did some more digging on your hot dog derby race history. They pulled it up. They pulled up the hotdogreferencepage.com, and they saw that you're 0-3. They didn't realize it. They said, oh, we forgot this was a champions hot dog derby. You're 0-4.
So wait, so what do you think this box is? Just telling me, look, loser, you're out?
They felt bad. They're still sending you some stuff.
If they mailed you a package,
I got an email today that said the Royals are sending you a package. It appeared to be related to the hot dog derby. Now I'm getting an email that says I'm out on the hot dog derby. I'm assuming this is just a loss in translation. I applied via the normal means. They denied people versus the normal means, but it already told me I could race.
Well, I guess you'll find out.
What do you think this box is? It says it's coming between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Should we have my wife open it if it comes soon?
I'm guessing it's going to be some underdog fantasy koozies. It's going to be a hot dog t-shirt.
And it says, sorry, you're not racing?
No, the box will just be normal merch. They just sent you a denial email.
So I'm not supposed to show up on the 21st, according to you.
Do what you want to do.
I think you definitely show up.
I'm showing up. You know what this is? If they don't let me race, this is going to be like Willie Mays Hayes in Major League. You're going to see two guys running a 40 and then just me in my own homemade hot dog suit sprinting up behind them through the stands.
That would be awesome.
I'm racing in this no matter what. They can't stop me. I mean, they can, but it's not like an NFL game. I don't think they've got people ready to tackle you that
fast. Someone says maybe the package email is also spam.
It's not spam. It gave me a real UPS tracking label.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
They asked for my address at one point. You think they're kicking me out now? It does say it was a rescheduled delivery. Originally, it was supposed to come earlier in the week.
They've changed their mind.
Oh, no.
They've changed their mind. That's what's trending.
They haven't told me they've changed my mind, other than, I guess, that email.
Coming up at 1 o'clock today, We'll have the fan club on a Friday here on Cody and Gold. Rob Collins, sports director over at Fox 4, going to join us. We'll obviously get his reaction to Hollywood Brown's injury, what that means to him on the offensive side of things. We'll talk some college football. We'll talk some Royals, all things with Rob Collins. Plus, they got a new show that they debuted this week. We'll learn about that. I'm told we have some new drinks that are very popular in the area right now because, one, Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce are involved with a brewery in Cleveland.
Yeah, and because they've been doing some guerrilla marketing, I think kind of in the style of Ryan Reynolds, where it's been Jason and Travis kind of pitching the brand themselves, I went in and picked up some garage beer.
Okay,
I
figured, so that's the drink.
I've never had it. Have you had it?
I have not.
Figured we'd give it a shot. It's just a light style beer. It says like 100 calories. You're drinking like a Mick Ultra or something, right? See what we got? I put a couple of seltzers in the cooler for you, Drew, if you want. But I do think you should try a garage beer, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just to get a sense of what the Kelce brothers are offering up.
Real quick, I do have an update. I guess we'll get to this maybe in 10 minutes or so. I got an update from our friend Sean Barber. He's got a updated proposal for Drew. You guys know we've got a lot on the line on Sunday. An updated proposal. I think you'll want to hear this.
So does that mean I get to change the tattoo then? Is that what we're doing?
I'll tell you the updated proposal. Sean Barber said after conversations with his wife as well. So we'll get to this. That's the tease. I'll get to it a little later.
Man.
I think you'll want to hear
it. I'm intrigued.
So it's a new updated offer. In the meantime, though, I do want to get back to the injury with Hollywood Brown. The unfortunate injury there, he's going to be on the IR, and multiple reports now suggesting that he could miss the entire season, at the very least going to miss a majority
months
of this NFL season. But Dr. David Chow, former NFL team doctor, gave his thoughts a few minutes ago up on X about the Hollywood Brown injury needing surgery and his timeline.
Uncharted territory. SC joint injuries are less common than AC joint. Very rare to need surgery. I've done them in my career, but never on an NFL athlete. I'm not aware of another NFL athlete that has had SC joint surgery. If this is open surgery and reconstruction, it would mean the end of his season. One can hope for a relocation and maybe pinning procedure and maybe come back later, but it seems like his Chiefs initial season is done and he's in uncharted waters, but we do expect a good return next season. Unfortunate news for Chiefs wide receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown.
So that's Dr. David Chow there. I mean, you heard two things. That's one, he said, well, maybe it's just a relocation
and a pinning,
but if it's a more serious procedure, he's already saying he wouldn't even be able to return. Like, he's saying that he would be out.
Well, think about it, because open surgery means you got to open up the whole chest, break the bone, replace it. That doesn't sound like an injury that's going to get you back by the time December rolls around, even in the NFL, even with the medical care that they receive. No. That seems borderline implausible. Now, most of the people reporting around the Chiefs, Nate Taylor, national reporters, Ian Rappaport, people we all know well, they're not making it sound like that yet, but also he hasn't had the surgery yet.
That's Monday
yet.
In Colorado, and they'll probably determine some of that when they're there. Like, I mean,
so. Yes. Look, I've had knee surgery a couple of times over the years. I have multiple surgeries a couple times over the years. Every once in a while, the way that this works, like one time I woke up, I was supposed to have like a minor scope of my knee, and then they're like, you wake up and you're in a straight leg brace, and you're like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, now
you
have a super bone.
And they're like, those are unrelated. He said, and they're like, you know what? While we were in there, we found some other stuff, so we took care of it. Our bad. More surgery time now. And you're like, what the hell? So, like, I'm assuming this reporting, the months, not his season is over reporting, is based on the idea that they have a sense of what they think they're going to need to do is going to get him back on the field for the Chiefs at some point later in the season. But once the surgery happens on Monday, then we'll see what the timeline starts to renegotiate to, whether or not they're going to have to figure that thing out.
This feels like one of those things where it's like, all right, wake me back up like December 1st. wake me back up on this one December 1st and give me an update then, kind of thing, or around Thanksgiving, like before we will have a real idea of like, is he truly trending towards being available? I mean, I guess to your point, if the surgery is what Dr. David Chow was describing, maybe we do find out early next week that there is no way he can return. But I would imagine the Chiefs will keep that part pretty close to the vest. Yeah. And we wouldn't know until much later. We'll see. I mean, this came as a pretty much a surprise, I would say, this morning with this news, because we knew he wasn't practicing. We just figured, oh, it was just they're being really cautious. It's taken a while, and you know, we never thought he'd be available week two anyway, kind of thing. It turns out there was clearly a setback. Joint wasn't healing the way it was supposed to.
Was it Tyreek Hill that had a similar injury?
This is the thing about these injuries is they also didn't think Hollywood needed an injury, but because it's such a rare injury, one guy's healed normal and he was back in 4 weeks on the early end of the timeline, and one guy's healed wrong and now he's out for the whole season. With an injury like that, the mistake we maybe made was we had evidence of this injury one time. It was Tyreek Hill. He didn't need surgery. He came back a month later and everything was cool. So when Hollywood got the injury and they said he didn't need surgery, I'm like, cool. He'll just be out a few weeks. He'll come back and everything will be fine. But because it's not a common injury, it didn't heal right. And now he has to go back and have the surgery now, unfortunately.
So Hollywood Brown, IR, going to miss significant time. It's very clear. Xavier Worthy, I think, is the biggest benefactor to having the immediate or consistent snaps now the rest of the way. We already saw the uptick just because he was out for 1 week, we thought, or 2 weeks. But he's the guy that has the ultimate chance to take advantage of this situation. And the Chiefs are very fortunate that they do have Xavier Worthy. And yeah. I think you were right with your comment, though, during What's Trending, where it's like, hey, the feeling could be so much different if all of a sudden we were discussing Worthy having a disappointing week one, and we would be looking at the situation differently.
Yeah.
I also just think last year kind of
numbed us to what bad wide receiver, because it's definitely better no matter what of last year's wide receiver play. So it's
the level of panic. I mean, when you still look at the wide receiver room as of this second from what we hopefully is a healthy receiver room outside Hollywood Brown, I mean, you're still talking about Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce as your primary guys. And then, all right, now if you need to have a few increased snaps for Justin Watson, that's one thing, or Juju Smith-Schuster. It's if you have another injury, then it becomes a little bit more of a real conversation about the offense and not reaching the level that we thought they could. So that'll be something to watch. I think Sunday's big for that now, too. Like, does Worthy put back-to-back strong performances together?
If the offense were to struggle Sunday,
then it's a different conversation early next week. We'll get back to this with Rob Collins coming up a little bit later on. We know the other big story, though, injury-wise, in the NFL was last night, Thursday Night Football, Tua. Where Tua, really scary scene. We've been here before. In 2022, we were all watching. For whatever reason, these have all happened like on primetime games, too. It's always been where every everybody is watching. And it was really scary to see. He took a hit. He was trying to get a first down for his
fencing
team. And did the fencing reaction. He did walk off the field. We all saw that. He did not have to be stretchered off, thank goodness. And he's undergoing more tests today. But it's been diagnosed, of course, as a concussion. And we know the history there. He's got three official ones. The fourth was undocumented. That was the whole chaotic thing a couple years ago where a neurologist got fired from the team. They dropped the ball, the whole thing.
Everyone could see it was a concussion. You and I came on the air the next day and be like, I'm sorry, are we looking at something different?
Yeah, and so here we are, we're having the same conversation again about Tua that we had 2 years ago. And I think the immediate simple reaction for a lot of us is like, okay, just don't play anymore, dude.
And
NFL, don't let him play. I think that's the first thought. I think it's also a lot more complex than that because, yeah, dude, give me $90 million, Cody, and I'll walk away. You won't see me again.
Yeah, I'll quit radio today for $90 million. But I like my job, but I'll leave.
But if you're Tua, fortunately, you did get the contract, so you do have $90 million no matter what. But when all you've done is play football, when your brother plays football, when your whole family's been about that, and all of that, it has got to be an extremely difficult spot because he's got two kids now. He's very fortunate he's able to walk this morning, right? And let alone even worst case scenario, you're talking about you lost your life. And so you have to factor all that in. But I don't think it's as simple as we like to make it from the outside. Because, yeah, for me, it's like, well, dude, duh. Why would you even? I would have retired, you know, like the last time, you know, but it's not that simple. And in the NFL, it's like,
I understand. But it's your entire identity. It's difficult.
Don't let them play, you know, if you're the NFL. Well, if the team doctors clear them again or independent doctors clear them again, well, then the NFL, who's the NFL to say you can't play? You know
what I understand
mean?
Everybody's decision is a little bit different and people take these things different. But what you just said is why he should step away. Radio is it's a huge part of your identity. It's the only real job you've ever had. It's a huge part of who you are. And for $90 million, you'd walk away and never touch a microphone ever again. Especially if that $90 million came with a caveat of you might be able to remember your name 20 years from now. And that's where the problem comes into is I don't want to tell Tua how to live his life. And I understand at some point a doctor might clear him again. But, I mean, just face the reality. You've got four concussions in the last 3 years, three of which we see the fencing response. Your body does not handle it well. It has not reacted well to this. You have a livelihood. You have money. You have things. You can stay in football. You can coach. You can be an analyst. There are a million doors that could still be open to you. You are young and under 30 and a million other things going your way. You don't have to keep playing football. The truth is he has to have this conversation again. And he better take it even more seriously than probably he did the last time, where maybe it was a shorter conversation. You should be thinking about this for weeks, months. I don't know how long you're going to be out with this concussion. And take it very seriously.
I think he's out elite. If he wants to still play, I think he's out at least until week 7. But my expectation would be that the doctors will ultimately clear him again.
Well, if you...
That's what's happened time and time again.
In 2022... the Bengals game that he had the rate where he got stretchered off was week 4, I think, and then he played again in week 16. So I don't know if that's anything to go off. But to your point, Cody, I wonder if I don't know. We obviously don't know what the conversation was like, but if you're his wife or something like that, maybe it's more of maybe she originally or maybe the decision was, look, Tua, it's your decision. If you want to come back, it's fine.
And he hadn't gotten the big payday. Yeah,
this is the time now where I wonder if it's like, look, I'm telling you what to do because I know you want to play, but it almost is a situation where somebody needs to be there for you to say you're not doing this to protect you from something else potentially worse, hopefully not happening again.
No, I mean, I totally...
Nobody's going to be like, he's a quitter. Like,
No, I mean, I think we're all in agreement, like the family members should step in and talk. It sounds like that happened in 2022, and he still ended up playing, and things change. You're right, the money aspect is different now. I don't think it's as simple as... It is from the outside, because on the outside, I would have announced this morning I'm retiring and I'm done, right? But it's not that simple for him in that situation. Also, let's also factor in the competitive athlete that he is, but also like he knows there's a whole locker room that is it's a weird balance. There's
all these people are counting
that are counting on him, and it's a tough.
Yeah, they're
spot.
Also counting on you to live though. You know what I mean?
Cody, like, I understand.
It's like my fear is like someone's gonna die on the field.
Of course, but again, that's the same conversation we had in 2022. I'm just saying. To the complexity of the decision. It is about your own health and being there for your kids and things like that. And once again, it sounds so easy to be like, your teammates will understand, no big deal. But if you're in Tua's shoes, I would imagine, in his mind, he might view it as quitting on his team. And those are difficult things I'm sure he's trying to process today and weeks ahead.
The good news is he's got weeks to figure it out. He shouldn't get on a football field for at least a month just based on how long. I understand technically you can get through concussion protocol in a week. I don't think that this is the standard concussion protocol. I think you're looking at least 2, 3, 4 weeks before you'd even consider getting him back out on the field. This goes the same as Malik Willis. Nice opportunity for Skylar Thompson, who's actually never really put any significant starter snaps out on paper for someone. If Mike McDaniel can get him to success, then he'll have a chance.
He was the one that filled in, correct?
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah. We'll get to all 32 here in about 7 minutes or so. I mentioned, Drew, though, we know the Chiefs play in Cincinnati on Sunday. We've been talking about that the entire week. And the text line has been enjoying the conversation as well. I saw you going back and forth a little
bit. Sean Barber.
913-586-7965, the text line. Barber texted me, and it's an update. You know we have a lot on the line Sunday, right? There's a couple bets. We've got the 24-hour McDonald's challenge. You got to dye your hair and get a Sean Barber number 59 tattoo if Cincinnati loses. These are all things on the table. He texted me this morning. He said he talked to his wife. He says since Cincinnati's not full strength, that he should offer Drew a way to not have to get the tattoo.
Offering you an out.
Sean Barber's wife is trying to help you out here.
Here's the
update. He goes, let Drew know when the toothless Bengals lose, he can opt out from getting the 59 tattoo
for.
I can't believe I'm even putting this out there because Barber, you're changing bets
again on the show.
He says, I'll just take a $59 gift card to Whole Harvest Kitchen in Leawood.
Wait, Barber. So he's leaving you out of the tattoo bet for $59?
I don't think that should be allowed.
Hold on.
Problem is, the bet's between him and Barber, in fairness.
You got to let them handle their own terms.
His wife is way too nice, is what it is.
Hang on. I will accept
that. I'm just saying, come on,
I will accept that part of the deal. Shout out to Mrs. Barber. I will say
she's
this.
Looking out for your interest. She feels bad for you.
Thank you very much. Tell your wife I said thank you for thinking of me in this
situation. But you don't get the hat then. You know? That's only for winners. Then.
I was going to say, if the Bengals win, if not, then it's going in the Cody Golden garage sale, and that's how it's going to be. So, yes.
I just said, come on, man, weak.
And I will still dye the hair. I will still, the hair dye and all
You'll
of that.
You'll still go to McDonald's.
All of that is still on the table. The tattoo.
Will you wear a Sean Barber jersey he provides for the show? Next week, in addition to that?
Yes.
So we can just have you in a 59 jersey the entire show as well?
If Barber has an old jersey or a jersey that he wants me to wear and borrow, I will wear the jersey
really
on the show.
Disappointed.
That's letting him out pretty easy. I mean, I didn't think that tattoo was going to cost a lot of money, but save Drew money. Didn't have to permanently hat in his own body.
It was permanent. He's now getting $59. That's it.
Somebody said, and Drew has to donate to Barber's favorite charity.
Someone says you accepting the deal tells us all we need to know about your level of confidence. And you know, you have no confidence in your team.
Hang on.
I thought they were the team to beat in the AFC, Jamar.
I told you, I think it was 2 days ago. No, I told you yesterday.
He's pretty worried about
it. I said the more that we talk about it this week and based on what we saw last week, I think Joe Burrow is going to play better. But to Ben Baby's point, if they play great, but they still lose the game, I'd rather
such a
look.
Fun name.
If they lose 31-27, they still lose the game. I'm confident, but tattoo permanent betting confident. Shout out to Barber's wife. Thank you so much for providing an out for me. I will accept
that's
it.
That's the mom thing to do. She's protecting an innocent child.
I will protect Drew from himself. As soon as we made the bet, however long ago it was, I called my parents and I was talking to them. My mom was like, what are you doing? And
it's a mom thing.
She's like, what are you doing?
They're out here looking all out right. for their kids. We just make stupid bets.
I told Barber you accept the revised offer.
Someone says, what is a McDonald's bet? Remind me. We each have to be there for 12 hours if we lose, and then you can reduce the time by eating.
A hash brown is 30 minutes off the time, etc.
If the Bengals win, I know that you had said I can open the show. I'm not going to open the show, but there will be something that you guys have to do on Monday if the Bengals do win.
Okay.
He wants it. He's like,
I don't think you can hold me to that now that you're not getting that tattoo, but I'll listen to offers.
Drew wants us to say Burrowhead a bunch for some reason. That's like his weird thing right now. I don't know why, which even though that was,
that's not it.
That got debunked pretty quickly.
Yeah, it did.
Up next though, we'll get to all 32 in the NFL. Plus the random question of the day. Coming up in 25 minutes, the fan club right here on Cody and Gold. Rob Collins, Fox 4, going to join us in studio. get his perspective on the Hollywood Brown injury, the news of the day in Kansas City with Brown going on the IR and could miss the entire season for the Chiefs. We'll get to the random question of the day here in 10 minutes or so as well. But let's get to all 32 for a second. And I wanted to key in on a name that I'll never forget because I was at a football game a couple years ago at Arrowhead. You guys might recall, I think it was a Sunday nighter. The Tennessee Titans were in town. And it was a really competitive game. Everybody was frustrated. The Chiefs weren't moving the ball. And Malik Willis was making his first start in the NFL at that time when Ryan Tannehill was hurt. Chiefs end up winning that game, and Malik Willis, I think, throws five times, something like that. They did not trust him to throw the football. Well, Malik Willis is making his first start with the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. We know because Jordan Love is hurt. Packers are playing the Colts. Sure. I can never erase that one game in KC because how bad he looked.
But he only completed five passes, I think, in that game.
If LaFleur can make him look competent to where he's throwing for more than like 120 yards and he doesn't have multiple picks and the Packers win, we got to jump Matt LaFleur to coach of the year odds up. We got to make him a coach of the year favorite immediately.
Isn't it embarrassing? You just said if a quarterback in the NFL can throw for over 120
yards. His over-under is 150 for the game, I believe.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
150
Who are they playing again?
I mean, Josh Allen barely threw for that last night, too. I mean, quarterback's yardage are down right now.
Who did Packers play again?
The Colts. I'm picking the Colts in one of my survivor pools.
Oh, good pick.
Thanks to Malik Willis. Thank you very much. Let me give you the exact yardage total for this week. But my point being is, if they get anything out of Malik Willis, boy, oh boy, what a job. Malik Willis, it's got up to 162.5, okay, in fairness, 162.5.
But, 162.
I just want to give some props ahead of time to LaFleur if he turns Malik Willis into a competent quarterback for this game.
I know we were all really obviously feeling very scared for Tua last night in that game. I was thinking a little bit more about the player who eventually made the tackle, DeMar Hamlin. Look, we said, like, at the time, it's like they were making a big deal about DeMar Hamlin back at practice, but, like, he wasn't playing. He wasn't a regular part of the team at that time. And now he's their starting safety and playing really good football, honestly. That's an amazing story. Not just that he got back on a football field, but then in addition to that, even though he's a very young player at the time, he has found his way into a starting role for the Buffalo Bills, a team with real aspirations, a contending team in the NFL, and is playing regular starter snaps for this team. Take away the injury stuff last night where he was just the man standing there as Tua eventually ran into him. DeMar Hamlin getting back on the field is still kind of an underrated story now. Felt like at the time they were overplaying him just being back in the facility. Now, after 2 years after that incident, he's on the full-time field as a starter. It's been a really excellent story to watch DeMar Hamlin. I hope he has a 10-year NFL career because his was a freak thing. He got hit right in the chest, right at the wrong time of his heartbeat. Thank God they saved his life on the football field, and he's still playing great football.
Yeah, it's really cool to see him back out there. We didn't get a chance to talk to Ben Baby about it, but he had a story about T. Higgins faking an injury. And the idea that he's faking an injury to not play or whatever the heck the case is. He's the guy that can least afford it, I think, actually, to be the complete opposite of it because of the contract situation. We know he's not going to be on the Bengals probably next season, but for his sake, to get paid like what he wants to, guys, him faking an injury doesn't by any means help his case for wanting to get that contract. It doesn't make much sense. Also, real quick. Did you guys see that Everbank Stadium is going to change its name to Trevor Bank Stadium for week two?
He's got
Trevor
a sponsorship
Lawrence.
Deal. They I already have that. A naming rights deal. Why not? That makes sense.
Yeah,
it's a fun little promotion.
Yeah, I don't have any issue with it, right? It's fine. That's actually a funny little play on words. What do I care?
Trevor Bank Stadium.
That's all 32. I did look it up. Malik Willis in the Sunday night game that went to overtime a couple years. 5 of 16 for 80 yards.
16, 5 passes.
And the Chiefs played terribly.
Jeez.
And I say that and Mahomes ended up, he threw the ball 68 times. Mahomes was 43 of 68, 446 and a touchdown and a pick and a 20-17 win. It was a weird game.
What the hell?
Oh my goodness.
Hold on. We might have to just go back as a show at some point and watch that game because
That was Malik Willis' first start.
You're telling me that there was an overtime game that the Kansas City Chiefs played in, in which one starting quarterback was 5 of 16 for how many yards?
80 yards.
80 yards. Mm-hmm. And the other quarterback threw for 400 yards and threw the ball 60 times.
68 times.
And the game was 20-17.
That's right. I was at the game, as I told you.
I'm sorry. What the hell happened?
How many yards did Derrick Henry have?
I don't remember this game at all. That doesn't make any sense.
I'll never forget it. One, I was in person, but also because Malik Willis was so bad, they didn't trust him to throw the ball, but yet the Chiefs couldn't pull away. Derrick Henry had 115 yards and two touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes also led the Chiefs in rushing that day. Mahomes had 446 through the air, 63 on the ground. Travis Kelce had 106 yards on 10 catches.
What
it was an ugly football game. The Titans at one point were up 14-3 in the game. It was just a weird football game. But anyway, that was Malik Willis' first career start. He's making his first Packers start Sunday. That's why I brought it up. And if Matt LaFleur can get him to improve on the 5 of 16 for 80, then give him Coach of the Year.
Just that game, that stat line, were there, how many turnovers did the Chiefs have? Like 7?
What's that?
How many turnovers did the Chiefs have? Like 7?
Oh, I just closed it. Sorry. I mean, I just saw Mahomes had one pick in the game.
And he was the leading rusher.
Were there 16 fumbles? Why was that game 20-17? You're never going to not make that make any sense. Did they have 6 blocked field goals? How did the Chiefs only score 20 points in overtime in that game?
The only way that I can conceivably think it happened is the Titans just took a ton of time off the clock, and every time the Mahomes touched the ball, it was a score in maybe 2 minutes.
Let's see. He threw it 65 times. I'm trying to see the Chiefs were down 17-9 at one point. They had the ball at their own 7-yard line. Mahomes, of course, takes them down the field. 20-yard scramble on a 3rd and 17. They get a 3rd and 9 touchdown with a 2-point conversion, tied the game with 2:56 to go.
I don't understand how there weren't more points
in the game, basically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I don't understand how there weren't more points. I don't. How does somebody throw the ball 68 times for 446 yards? He got sacked 4 times. That's part of it.
The Chiefs held the ball 13 of the first 15 minutes of the game.
Travis Kelce finished 10 for 106. Yep, Juju Smith-Schuster finished 10 for 88. Mecole Hardman finished 6 for 79. They lost no fumbles.
So one turnover.
It was a weird game, man. It's a weird, weird game.
Statistically, I'm not even sure this is possible, I think, is my concern. Did they go for 7 fourth downs? Like, I don't think the math doesn't math here. There's no
way. It's a weird game.
That might be one of those, like you said, you have to go back and rewatch. Because
when a quarterback's 5 of 16 for 80 and only loses by 3, it's quite a story. So there you go.
I don't.
You're saying that game alone should be the reason Vrabel should still have a job. Potentially.
Doesn't make any sense.
Crazy.
Someone's like, that's kind of like the Raiders game last year, except the Chiefs couldn't overcome and win. Because remember, Aiden O'Connell didn't throw the ball
playoff
after the first quarter.
Or the playoff game, they lost to Tim Tebow, who completed two passes.
Yeah. But last year, I mean, Aiden O'Connell.
Two passes in a playoff win?
What was the story off the Aiden O'Connell game? He didn't throw a ball. He threw it in the first quarter, and that was like it?
That was it. His last completion was in the first quarter of the game.
Kind of similar.
This is what I want to avoid on Sunday, if we're being honest. Can we just avoid the nonsense is the Bengals play like ass, and still somehow it's 17-14 in the fourth quarter, and I got to sweat out some stupid game? I know that this is like the smallest complaint, because you really can't. It's caviar problems. Like, I saw somebody today be like, it's hard to be a Chiefs fan sometimes, like, because of the Hollywood Brown injury. I'm like, sir, they have won. I hope you are being sarcastic. They have won 2 Super Bowls in the last 2 years and 3 in the last 5. It is not hard being a Chiefs fan. There is no amount of devastation they could suffer this year that could make you utter the sentence, it's hard to be a Chiefs fan. It's not. It's incredibly easy.
And they've never won less than how many games with Mahomes? 10?
But it's 11? Just the long-standing meme that is, okay, Chiefs are going to win. And then that bar graph that says, I want to jump off a bridge. And then the end of it says, oh, cool, they won. That's every Chiefs game. That's this Titans game in like, or the, you know, just like kind of like encapsulated into a fine little ball. I'm like, it makes no sense to me. I'm going to rewatch this game. I'm not even kidding.
It was a bizarre one, man. It was a weird one.
Random question.
I'm absolutely going back to watch that. For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Or on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. Live stream the show all 4 hours a day. Now The Drive is up and live. Hoping to have the morning show up there soon, too. So if you want to live watch the show, always available on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook at TheFan965. Question I have for you today. It's going to get heated. This is not my normal random question day where I ask you about sandwiches. No, I just think I want to find out whether or not we think this is ethical. KC Mo, City Council, has given the green light to reinstitute red light cameras as part of traffic enforcement. The mayor, and allowing this, says that it's just for places in which they do not have policing available to catch people doing red lights. The question I have for you is, should this be constitutional? I say no. I say screw this. If you don't catch me running the red light, your little camera shouldn't bust me. You gotta physically be present to catch me in this crime. Literally, that's how every other crime on the planet works. If I'm trespassing and you're not there, you didn't catch me trespassing. I don't think I should be allowed to hit a hard yellow and get through a light. One little click of a flash and I'm getting a red light ticket? Nonsense. Nonsense, I say.
Look, nobody likes getting a ticket. So on the surface, of course, the answer is probably no, right? I think there's also the concern some people have with
you're pro red light camera? This is what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I didn't say that.
Right.
I said on the surface, I think immediately we are like, well, of course not. You don't want red light cameras. Nobody wants to get a ticket. There's also like a real safety concern, perhaps, with red light cameras. There's the thought that you're more likely to slam on the brakes going, you know, when it's yellow, right? Someone's worried about getting said ticket. They slam on the brakes. It could lead to more rear end collisions, right? So that you might reduce the intersection collision or whatever, right? But there's a chance that you're so worried about it that you're slamming on your brakes on a yellow and someone rear ends you. And so you have more rear end collisions. That's an argument against them a little bit. I get that. Have you ever got a ticket from a red light camera before?
I have not. I've received two tickets in my entire life. One was for turning left between the hours of 4 and 6. It was like 4:02. The guy got me a ticket. And then one time was for a seatbelt when I was like 17 years old. Over on Twitch, Scoob says, unconstitutional, yes, but needed. Bad drivers earned an all-time high. From the 816, lots of crimes are solved by camera now. Why can't this one be any different? I don't know, man. I'm not for it. Someone says, Sixth Amendment says the defendant can talk with any witnesses of their alleged crime. You cannot talk with a camera. So they should be good to go. And then someone's calling me Criminal Cody. What? Come on. I don't need a nickname. I'm just, you know, stating the fact
Someone says, to my point about the rear-end collisions, it's significantly less likely to end in a death, though, versus a full-speed intersection collision. Totally with you.
I guess the next person you see going through a red light, just make sure it's not Cody. In that case.
Cody's not stopping.
I don't run red lights.
We
know that I'm a very boring driver. Well,
yeah, but if it's you just said if it's yellow, you might be inclined to go on through.
Everyone goes through it yellow. It's not safe for me to just slam on the brakes because the light's turning yellow, but that's what I'm going to end up doing.
Right.
Rather, I'm going to end up having to slam on the brakes so I don't get the ticket. I actually think it makes me less safe of a driver versus just speeding up, making sure I'm through the light. I'm clear of traffic, not running a red light, clear of traffic on the middle of the yellow. Now I'm going to feel the need to like hard press the brakes so that I don't go through a light yellow, causing a traffic problem.
I think I'm actually on your side, Cody, in this because the other day it's like a judgment call. You're maybe 40 feet from, like if it's a 45 and you're 40, 50 feet away from the light that turns yellow. It's a judgment call of, you know what, I'm just going, screw it. And if the light goes too quickly, then you technically run a red light where there's no way in the world I was stopping for that red light.
So a lot of you are mentioning on the text line that there was a Supreme Court ruling. There was back in like 2012 or 2013 that's why it stopped. Like that's why Missouri and other cities and other states were forced to abandon it. The ruling at that time said that the camera technology could not match the driver of a car caught running a red
light
with the owner. Under the new ordinance, red light cameras will now take a picture of both the driver and the car, and they will only ticket you when the system's able to match the photo of the driver and the owner of the car. I guess this is why they believe this is...
So you can run as many red lights as you want in my car.
Is that what I understand?
Guess, yeah, photo is, has to match, I guess.
Kind of what it sounds like.
I guess.
What I'm understanding here?
That's why they believe this, I guess, does not violate the ruling.
I want to know, is there... So in your instance, Cody, that you said, if the light's turning yellow and you're making that judgment call and you go, and the light turns red right as you hit the line or whatever, is that running the red light or is it a little bit afterwards? Because a serious incident, if you're crossing the intersection as the light's turning red,
yeah,
you're not going to get in an accident. Otherwise, the people who are going the other way are running the red light.
someone.
Is there like a second delay or 2 second delay before picture actually?
Yeah, I would
taken.
Like a little bit of like
a buffer.
I'd like a 5 second grace, 3 second grace period.
5 seconds.
Three second grace period.
Someone from the 816 says police officer here.
Wow.
First, it's not considered a crime, Cody. It's an infraction.
Oh, okay.
Secondly, I don't agree with them. I agree. We should have to be present to see the violation and properly identify the driver. I think the whole ruling.
I think the whole ruling back
in 2013 was like they weren't able to truly identify and match, and they're saying that was unconstitutional. I guess these new cameras, and if they actually send you a ticket, it'll be because they totally confirmed, and that's how they're able to reinstate it.
Someone says the tail of your vehicle has to be in the intersection when it turns red.
There are a lot of people who are running these red lights.
What happens
then?
When like something crazy happens and someone starts like you get stuck in the middle of the intersection on accident? You know, like traffic gets backed up, you get stuck in the middle a little bit. Am I getting a ticket for that? I'm just stuck in the middle. What if it snows? And you got to kind of like roll it a little bit to make sure that
it's icy and you're sliding into an intersection.
Yeah, now on top of running through this red light in the ice, I got to get a ticket.
I feel like this is still one of those where like, if you have a good enough attorney, I feel like you can probably get your way out of this with a red light camera. I don't know. Someone else talking about government fundraising. Yeah, this is how we're going to actually pay for the Chiefs to stay in KCMO with the Royals. We're just going to have red light cameras everywhere that'll ticket. It doesn't really matter. And that'll be how you fund the new stadiums. Perfect.
I don't know if they live in Denver or if Denver's been brought up multiple times. When I was living in Colorado, I kid you not, the only time that I've ever seen a camera actually take pictures of people who were going through like red lights, it happened all the time where I lived in Colorado, when people would, and it would be the light turns red right as you're in the middle of the intersection, you see the camera. I don't know if it's a Colorado thing or what, but that's the only place I've seen it, at least.
We all have, obviously, just because you live on one side of the state line doesn't mean you don't drive through KCMO or whatever, but you live closer. This can impact you more than it's going to impact me.
I live in Gladstone, technically, but I live, okay. I don't know, I could lightly jog to Kansas City in 10 seconds. I just live on like the fringe, essentially, of society. But so, yes, if I drive 10 seconds in my car, I'm in KCMO. Is red light, they're going to put them everywhere or just like some intersections where like it's a problem?
They haven't decided what the locations are yet. I'm assuming they'll take a look at where they've had issues with accidents, et cetera. And that's where they'll determine where the red light cameras go. So something to...
Someone says the Sixth Amendment doesn't qualify because it's a traffic offense, not a crime. So, but if I don't pay the ticket, is a crime that I don't pay it? How's that work?
Yeah, but you
then
should...
I get a bench warrant, then I go to jail, then it's a crime.
I'm pretty sure you have to pay the ticket.
I was going to say, yeah, go. You should pay the ticket.
You still have to pay the ticket. Otherwise, yes, I think. Actually, you know what? Don't pay the ticket. I want one day somehow them to knock on our door at work, and it's just
all over a red light.
This
is like Tyree Kill, and I'm just getting arrested outside the studio.
It's a red light infraction from 4 years ago, and that's why they're knocking on your door. Yeah.
What's the thing that would get you? You know, like every once in a while when it'd be like, police sting offered free Super Bowl tickets, and then like they round up all the criminals. What's the thing that would get you busted? They sent you an email, Golden, it's like, hey, free Chipotle for life. And you're like, oh, I mean, I can't say no to that. Chipotle works with them. Mm. You show up there and they handcuff you.
But what would be the crime?
In this case, I'm saying you have a warrant for your arrest and they're trying to catch you.
I got you.
What is the thing they would offer you from a company? And it came from the company that would get you in enough trouble that you would like get arrested. Royal season tickets or something.
Crown Club tickets. Yeah.
You think
I would also know that I'm not just getting handed free Crown Club tickets and I got to meet someone randomly at Kaufman to pick them
up.
You
wouldn't have any questions after that?
Like you would be like, what the hell's going on? Also, just don't have a warrant out for your arrest. How about that? How about everybody, you know, how about that happens?
Well, it's easier said than done sometimes, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thinking of
the city, did you see this on a much lighter, I think, lighthearted note? Because I don't think deep down it's like...
Lucas was involved in this, too.
This terrible thing. It's a ceremonial thing. But I think, you know, it's something to keep in mind. You may have seen that yesterday was a big day for the Missouri Tigers in Kansas City, Missouri, right? So the Missouri Tigers, with SEC commissioner, they were excited. They announced their big renovation plans. It's a huge deal. And the renderings, you know, I like renderings. The renderings look really cool. They're in Columbia. They're going to renovate their stadium and add on to it, everything. And also the Kansas City Council passed a resolution naming Kansas City an SEC city, and the SEC logo and flag were displayed at Union Station yesterday. All right, it's a ceremonial thing, but don't you think if we're going to start calling Kansas City an SEC city, maybe said conference should actually bring revenue to Kansas City, you know, like the Big 12 tournament. I don't see the SEC for being an SEC city. I don't know what kind of revenue they're really bringing to this city. The Big 12 is not a, Kansas City's not a Big 12 city. The Big 12 tournament is in Kansas City, brings this, you know, millions of dollars every spring to this city. So that's my only thing. This is not a rivalry thing as much as it is, like, deep down, like, the city. Is that a smart decision, Cody?
No, of course it's not a smart decision, which is why the mayor already tried to cover his ass on this. Imagine having to cut. He's like, I love all the teams, and then showed him in, like, Jayhawks in Missouri gear, or in K-State gear. This is why we should make it. You remember I said I didn't want traffic cameras? We should make it illegal to do these stupid mandatory workplace fun versions of city council summer fun things. We're just wasting time. We pay your ass to sit on the city council and be like, I declare it SCC city. Why? Just so everyone gets mad at you? Like, I know, it's just stupid. We don't have to do this. Well, it's so toothless. And you're right. This is a Big 12 city anyway. The Big 12 tournament's here all the time.
Yeah,
like, they actually spend money in this city. It's just ceremonial. It's so silly and useless and pointless. Just
have
don't
a day.
Do it.
I don't care. Light up the building
gold.
Gold. Light it up purple. Light it up blue. Light up red. Whatever. That's cool. I'm saying, like, deep down, like, do you want to actually put out there that you are considering yourself an SEC city when the Big 12 conference is what's driving revenue? Someone texts it in and says, no, Kansas is another state. This has nothing to do with Kansas. The Big 12 tournament is in Kansas City, Missouri. And Big 12 schools, two of them happen to be in Kansas, yes, but the other Big 12 schools do not. And their tournament is in your city, which brings in millions of dollars a year, may not want to alienate the Big 12. That's all I'm saying.
The only thing I'll allow for nonsensical fun out of city council, like, I declare it SCC Kansas City, is marrying pets at the zoo. You can declare it like two penguins got married at the zoo day. That's it. Outside of that, I don't want any of this nonsense. Well, it's just, well, and like, honestly, it shouldn't risk this because the Big 12 should just laugh at this as like being a silly non-merit-based city council thing. But on the off chance, it pisses off the Big 12 a little. Why did you do it? The Big 12 has put millions of dollars into your city and has committed to your city for years. Why even risk it? I don't think the Big 12 is going to actually care.
No, they're under contract until 2030, I think, or 2028.
Like you were saying, Gold, just have a Missouri day, have a K-State already, day, have a KU day.
Well, they don't need to have a K-State or KU day. It is Missouri. I'm fine with that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they don't have to do that either.
It's not even so much that they were honoring Missouri. That's not a problem. It's that I don't think you want to name a conference. Like, that's the conference of this city. Yes, Missouri is in your state. The conference they belong to is the SEC. I'm just saying there's other conferences, one in particular, that are spending money, driving revenue to your city. Maybe not alienate them. That's all I'm saying.
Just seems like we spend a lot of time. Wait, we spend a lot of time just being like, is that all city council is? You just like hang out, you screw up property taxes, and then you just like, it's SEC day. Is that it? So unnecessary. Or in SEC cities.
Last year, $32 million estimated economic impact throughout the Kansas City region due to the Big 12 women's and men's tournament. Up next, though, fan club here on Cody and Gold. Rob Collins from Fox 4 going to join us. We'll talk more about the Hollywood Brown injury that has him headed to the IR.